Please be seated. Thank you. It's amazing how God works in mysterious ways. Now, we've got a reading this morning from Romans chapter 12. David, are you ready? Yes, come and minister towards God's word. It was interesting how I used the word servanthood six times. I'm a servant. The church is called to serve. We are there to serve. God has called us to serve. And this is one of those passages that shows the aptitudes, the attitudes, the gifts kind of interwoven together with God's fruit of the Spirit in Romans 12. So David, go for it. Thank you.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1-8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generosity. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The Lord bless the reading of his words.
Thank you, David. Bless you. Thank you very much for that. That's a passage that shows us how incredible the body of Christ is, how God created the church to fulfill his purpose into his mission, to teach, to prophesy, to serve, and so on and so forth. And it's always that debate, is the gift that God has given us the same as the abilities? So thank you, Jeffrey, for that. And it's as we look at this series of based on our mission statement as such, of our purpose statement as such, becoming disciples, who make disciples of Jesus Christ. David just prayed earlier on how Lord teaches how to become disciples, to make disciples. And this is what we try to do throughout the year, to unpack for us how God would like us to become people who use his gifting, who use the fruit of the Spirit, who serve, who teach, who prophesy, who are going into the world to proclaim Christ crucified and impact other people's lives, that they will become disciples of Christ. As I said to you last week, the word Christians is only three times in Scripture. God has not called us to go and make Christians. He called us to go and make apprentices. Disciples is 269 times the word disciple, apprentice in the Scripture, not Christian. God has called us to make disciples, which means it's a process. It's not a zap in, come listen to the sermon, ask for someone to put their hand up, and there they are. It's more than that. It might be that, but it's more than that. And this is what I'd like to unpack to you. So we're looking at this spiritual gifts, heart, aptitude, personality, experience. We are shaped by God to become disciples who make disciples. This is the reason we're here, to bring glory to him, to bring others into a living relationship with Christ. This is why we are here. And all those things that you see, spiritual gifts, our passions, that what is in our heart, our attitudes, the fact that I'm an electrician, I am a plumber, I am a banker, I am a teacher, whatever I am, together and coupled with my personality and the experience that I have, brings us into God's kingdom together to shape, form, encourage, build up the body of Christ. And there is always this debate, if I use the gifts, is me being a plumber or an electrician then a gift? Of course it is. Or what the Bible might call, at times, it's an aptitude. It's a little bit like this. I've got this beautiful, what is it called? Compass. Yeah, it is a compass. Lovely compass. And whatever I do with this is that it always shows where north is. I can turn it either way, that way, that way, that way, that way. That arrow will always show where the north is. It doesn't matter which way I'm going to turn it. And it's the same with us. It doesn't matter in which service God has called us, electrician, plumber, pastor, whatever it is, pilot and prophet, lawyer and doctor, they all point to one person only, and that's just Jesus Christ. He is the North. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And this is where our shape comes in, because we have a purpose. We have been made in God's image to represent Him, to bring glory to Him. I want to start with a story this morning. How many of you, this is what we call to come, follow. And this is the position, the process in which God has called us to come, we listen, then we follow, we obey, we want to be with Him, and then the process of transformation begins. He is the one that transforms us. It's not conform, it's transform. This is where Christianity ends and discipleship begins. We are not only called to conform to a Bible teaching, to a dogma, but to be transformed into His grace, to love, to forgive, and so on and so forth, so that we then become the disciples who will make others acquainted with the kingdom of God, fishers of men. So, I want to start with a story. In 2018, do you recognize that guy there? Elon Musk. Yeah, Elon Musk, a great, wonderful, richest person on earth, and an entrepreneur as such. In 2018, if you remember, there were 12 children. He got trapped into a cave in Thailand. When he heard the news, he gathered all his engineers, the clever minds that he had around in his company, about 10 of them, and he said, I would like you to think, design something with your ability, with your aptitudes that you have, with your gifting that you have, that we're going to get those children out from that cave. So those minds got together for about 48 hours. They thought very hard what to do, and they came out with that idea of building a submarine. So they brought it within the 3 days. They brought it to Thailand. They took it there. So they try and get the children out from those caves where they were trapped in. If you remember, they've been there for a few days. I think if I remember, 9 days. So he designed that. He brought it there to Thailand within a few days. And when he got there to the caves, they looked at it, the specialists, the cave people, whatever they call these days, and they looked at it and said, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And Elon Musk, he could have thrown just a huge massive tantrum and said, I'll just spend nearly $200 million on making that. I paid those guys over time. And you're telling me this is not going to work? No, he didn't. He said, okay, let's put you on one side and tell me, what can I do? How can I help them? And this is, I think, the attitude that God calls sometimes, because it's not about just of our attitudes and gifts that we can do and fulfill and bring them to God's table in mission. It is about the attitude more than it is sometimes about their attitude. Elon Musk then, I think, he said this, what can I do? Is there anything that you would like me to do or be? Is anything that I can bring here to help we bring those children out? And he's been told, there's nothing at the moment, just wait and we'll tell you if there is anything that you could do for us. Ephesians says this, where God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We all have a gift. We have an aptitude, an ability that God has given us. The Bible says that you were formed and shaped in order to display His glory. We are His workmanship, and we do that through our gifting, through our serving to one another in Christ. Because every time we serve someone, we show how Christ is like. Every time. How do you know what God's purpose is for your life? You look at that shape. In Corinthians says this, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but God gives ability to everyone for their service. Spiritual gifts, ways of serving, different abilities to perform. Just very quickly, it's going to take me more than 3 minutes to preach this sermon, trust me. I am more than 3 minutes. Boy, when you do a sermon in 2 minutes, call me, I'll be there. I'd like to witness that. Every ability is given by God. God has given each one of us the ability to do certain things well. We as Christians always emphasize natural ability. We don't emphasize natural ability enough. We always think they are different from the spiritual gift that God has given us. They are not. They are the same. They interwoven. They work together in order to bring glory to God. Look at the scripture when I read this sermon. And you look at the scripture, you look at Google, really. But in the scripture, there are different abilities that are highlighted, like athletic ability, artistic, architectural, administrative, boat making, debating, designing, embroidery, engraving, farming, fishing, gardening, leading, managing, masonry, molding, musical ability, needlework, painting, planting, poetic ability, philosophizing, inventing, carpentry, sailing, selling, being a soldier, tailoring, teaching, tent making, writing. They're all abilities that are put into God's service. Every ability is to be used for God's glory. Every single gift God has given us is for His glory. Whatever you do, Paul said to the church in Corinth, do it for the glory of God with all your heart. With all your heart. So, there is a debate. A few years ago, I went to a conference on how to encourage volunteers into serving Christ in the church and into the world out there. And listening to that gentleman and two other speakers, the word volunteer didn't quite sit right with me. Because I think God has not called us to be volunteers. He called us to be disciples, to be witnesses. Because volunteering, it's not about a calling, it's about getting someone, hiring someone for the purpose of just doing something out of their, you know, desire, I guess. But Christ has called us to serve. And I want to highlight some things about volunteer as to opposed to serving. Number one thing is this, that volunteering is something you do, where serving is something that you, and I love how this speaker call it, you heart it. It's not something you do, but it's something that you heart. It comes out of your heart. A volunteer will say, look at what I did. A servant will say, look at what Christ has done, what others are doing. Volunteer is about the outside recognition. Servanthood is an attitude of the heart. Always start from here. Number two, a volunteer focuses on they give. A servant always focuses on what Jesus has given. Let me share with you a story. In the middle of the screen, you have the words, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. There were two Moravian people, two Moravian Christians in Germany in the middle of 1700. And they've been feeling for quite some time the need to go and share the gospel with the slaves in an island called St. Thomas's. And they weren't allowed to go because nobody was allowed to go among those slaves there, especially to go and preach the gospel. So they've been told no chance that you will be going there. So what they've done, their name was Dober and Nishman, or Jonathan and David. So what they did, they went to authorities of the time and asked and said, you know, we'd still like to go. Would you make a boat available? So one of the mayor of the time, he said, yes, you can go, but it's only one condition that you need to fulfill. You need to go there and become a slave, number one. And number two, you cannot come back. They both never thought, never gave it another thought. They went straight away. They both had been put to their kind of service, and they went after several weeks. They got there, and they became slaves among slaves in order to be able to preach the gospel. We are told that about 1,300 people came to Christ within the first 12 months of their sacrificial duty. And this is the words that they, as they wave going to the island of St. Thomas's, as they look back at the people that were crying for them and waving them goodbye, they said this: "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." Of his suffering. This is what service is compared to volunteering. We are calling you to discipleship. We are not calling you to volunteer. I like what KPRA does, because the KPRA's motto is, you coming to serve in order to grow. And this is what their students are coming to serve, not to volunteer only. They might be volunteering, bless them. But they are called to serve. And that's how you become a disciple. Volunteering keeps score. Servant makes sacrifices. As a volunteer, you don't get the attention and the reward you think you are entitled to. The servant seeks to please the master, Jesus Christ. Volunteers are always time-sensitive. Servants are need-sensitive. The Good Samaritan story, it always shows us that time is not important. What it is stopping, looking, touching, caring, comforting. The best things I found in ministry is those what we call interruptions. Those are the best time I ever had in ministry, when people come and interrupt in the midst of my journey, wherever I was going to. Volunteering. Volunteers want to look good. They point all the time at themselves. Where servants want God to look good. It's a huge difference. Serving is not about how I look, but how God will look through my gifting, through my abilities. Volunteer is about convenience, where serving is about commitment. There was a story in the Old Testament, as the people of Israel were traveling through the desert, these lions were attacking them. And as the lion were attacking them, they went before the Lord and before Moses and said, you know, we had enough of this. Can you do something about this? So they went before God, and then God's answer came to them. And after God's answer and protection came to them, they said this, the scripture said this: they feared the Lord, but they served their own gods. They serve God just to keep the lions away. And sometimes our service is like, I'm serving God because I want that ticket to get to heaven. I need to show him how much I love him. Hey, our end goal is not heaven. Our end goal is Christ. Volunteer makes you superior, where serving comes from humility, a heart that is fully humble. Following Jesus is not a three-step formula. I mentioned that before. Be with him, be like Jesus, be like him, and do what Jesus did. Our abilities, our gifting comes from being with him. They emulate and show how Christ is like. And when we do them, we display his character and his glory. You come to be with Jesus, you gradually start to become like him. Eventually, is that you cannot help it, but you begin to do the things that God did, that Jesus did. And this is the process. It's more, as I said, than just a zap on a Sunday morning, a great Bible study in connect groups, or whatever it is. It's more than that. Discipleship is a process that goes on. And Jesus said to this, that the secret to do all that, especially be with him, is this verse: abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. The word abide in Greek is meno. It can be translated to remain, to stay, to dwell, or make your home in. We could translate it like this: make your home in me, and I will make your home in you. All of us are abiding in something. The question is, what are we abiding in? Yeah? And this matters because whatever we abide will determine the fruit, the abilities, the service of our lives. If we are rooted in the infinite scrolling, where is it? Oh, it's here. Of our media, which I am guilty of, it will form us likely into people who are angry, anxious, arrogant, simplistic, and all the time distracted. The latest research I read is that this stuff has contributed hugely to our attention span. This has reduced our span of concentrating from what it was before, maximum of 9 minutes, now to about 6.5 minutes, if that, because we rather prefer to be on this. If we are rooted in the endless quiz of accuse of our streaming platform of choice, Netflix, Paramount Plus, whatever it is, out there, they will form us too, likely into people who are lustful, restless, and bored, never present with people in a proper, meaningful relationship. If we are rooted in the pursuit of hedonism, another drink, another whatever, hookup or whatever it is that is at the moment that brings the sellers is bringing us peace, then we become compulsive, addictive, running from our pains, simultaneously getting ourselves more and more ill and mentally ill. But if we are rooted in the inner life of God, that will also form us and shape us. It will slowly grow the fruit of the Spirit, the abilities, the gifting within us, so that we may continue to serve Him. And to clarify this, this is not about living a monasterial life, but I understand that to live for Christ, I can do that while I change the nappies, and I can still like Christ. I can do that while I drive into the one-way system in Lancaster on the Monday morning, whatever, going to church or to work or whatever, and still love Christ. I can do that at all times. I love this story. Let me tell you another story. I'm going to close in a minute. Oh, 3 minutes. My 3 minutes have gone. This a story of 18th century priest and an elderly peasant who would sit alone for long hours in the quiet of the church. And the priest asked this peasant, why are you sitting there on the pew all the time for so long? You know, day in, day out, I come here in the morning, I come at night, you are still there. A few times the priest had to kick him out of the church. When the priest asked why he was doing, the old man just looked into his eyes and simply replied, I looked at him, he looks at me, and we are happy. That's what it means to be a disciple. Hey, listen, I said to you last week that Christ has called us to a yoke. That yoke is not what we think is a burden. It's a teaching, which is lighter. I don't think Christ has called us to more business and more stuff to do. No, but to the shape and the gifting that He's given us. He called us to use that for His glory. I look at Him. He looks at me. Whew. In our busy world, to do that today, that's the greatest challenge ever. Because when we go to prayer, we go to a list. We don't go to look at Him. We don't go to listen to Him. We've got things to say. The only way I'm going to be with Jesus is if I develop that contemplative prayerful life. It's a how do I be with Jesus? Is that a question? Right question, right grammar? By abiding in Him. How do we become a Jesus? Go and sit down with Him for a bit. But when I say just go and sit down, don't even pray. Just look at Him. Let Him look back at you. See how you feel. And you know what the reward of serving God is? It's God. It's more than, okay, we're going to make disciples. That's fine. Christ can make disciples without us. Jesus had a very busy life, yet in the midst of his busy life, he withdrew to pray, to contemplate. For Jesus, the contemplating and prayer place was not just a place, it was a protest. As he went, he found those hiding places throughout Jerusalem, throughout Judea, throughout Samaria. Wherever he went, he found a place to hide and pray and look at him and let the Father look at him back and be happy and be happy. And remember that love as defined by Jesus is not just a nice feeling of affection, it's an attitude of compassion, of warmth, of delight, but it's also an action. Those two missionaries that I shared with you before, they did assert that they were willing to become slaves, and if it was the only way to reach the slaves, and he wasn't dead. After being sent out, the two of them traveled, and later on, after 29 years, they returned back to Germany. And they said this, "We not only worked as slaves, but we gladly did. But we also used our abilities. I built and made chairs," Jonathan said. Where the other one said, "I have built and dug 2,000 wells of living water, both physically and spiritually." The things we do something to us. They get into the core of our being and shape our love and our belongings. What we do, we become. George Mueller, the great, wonderful evangelist, the great, wonderful Christian in the 1800s, he said like this, to read more of the Bible, it's to know him deeply, deeply, intimately. I want to read more of the Bible because I know too little about the excellence of Christ and how to serve him. I want to read more of the Bible because I want to serve him well. And you know, he cared for 10,000 orphans through 17 orphanages and 9 hospitals down in Bristol. Then he said this, "When I surrender myself totally to God, the love of money was gone, the love of home was gone, the affection of wealth was gone, the love of worldly things was gone. God has become my everything. I found everything in him, and now I'm going to serve him with everything I am that I have. There is nothing else I ever want but to serve him with all that I am. And I want to stay with him. I want to be a happy man, a very happy man, seeking to only accomplish the things of God and God himself. I look at him, he looks at me, and we are happy. And we are happy." Whew. I feel like singing that song, "What a world this will be if we were to do that." But I'm not Frank Sinatra, am I? No, better stop here. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be part of your mission into the world, where you have called us as we are, and you have shaped us with the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, with abilities that you've given us, with passion and heart and personalities that we have, in order to serve you, in order to become people like you, in order to be with you, in order to represent you to the world. Thank you for this wonderful privilege to be part of that mission, your mission in the world. We pray this morning that you'll continue to use us, to bless us, to shape us and mold us, that we may represent you to a world that needs your grace and your compassion. May our gifting be a platform for your grace and forgiveness to reach out to others. May our gifting show people who you really are. May we become servants rather than volunteers. Father, may all of this come out from that looking at you. You looking back at us. And then together saying, we are happy. We are happy. This is only time when our souls will find rest. When they look at you. You look at us. And you are well pleased. Lord, send us out, equip us, empower us, and may we continue to display the fruit of your Spirit through our gifting, through our abilities, in our families, church, places of work, and neighborhood and communities. This is our prayer today and forevermore. Take us, Lord, take us as we are. In the name of Christ, we pray.